The Amateur Hour podcast mock draft continues. I'm Brian Gibberman here with Sam Vecini. We are up to the number 8 pick, the Detroit Pistons. Dan Feldman from PistonsPower.com. Dan, how you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing excellent. Let's start here. I want a free agency. There's some They have two guys we're looking at with the Pistons. You got Greg Monroe as an unrestricted free agent. Reggie Jackson as a restricted free agent. First with Jackson, do you think they're bringing him back no matter what, or is there a price point that's going to be a cutoff for Stan Van Gundy in that situation?
Well, I hope and think we won't find out an answer to that. I think they obviously traded for him with the intention of bringing him back. I'm sure they've talked with him and his agent and have an idea what it takes. Now, if some team comes over the top with a max offer sheet or something close to it, it gets a little dicier. I think the reason I would say yes, I'd expect them to match is you look at, this is not necessarily the most logical way to view it, but the human element where the Pistons say, hey, we gave up some assets for this guy. We'd look bad if we let him go after half a year of accomplishing nothing with him. You know, we got him for the long term. We plan to keep him. I think they would be worried about how it looks to let him go. So that's why I lean toward them doing it no matter what. But I don't think we'll find out. I think he'll either sign a reasonable enough offer sheet or just directly sign with the Pistons.
Could you see him playing? I know Brandon Jennings is only under contract for one more year after this season. Do you see Van Gundy getting creative and trying to use them together a little bit? Or will there be an attempt to trade Brandon Jennings before the season starts?
Yes and yes. I'm sure they'll try to trade Brandon Jennings. He's no longer a really good fit on this roster, and he probably wasn't that good of a fit in Van Gundy's system at any point. Even when he was playing well, it seemed Van Gundy wanted to get rid of him if he could. The biggest hindrance, I think, to them playing together is not that it wouldn't work under the right circumstances. It's that Reggie Jackson has wanted to be a starting point guard. That's been his goal. That's what led him out of Oklahoma City. That's why the Pistons got him. And for it to work, he's going to become the nominal two-guard in that system. And I don't think he has interest in making that work. I don't know if he's going to work on developing his game and, you know, fixing those skills necessary to be that off type of guard. So I think it can work in small stretches. I think they'll have to make it work. But I don't think Jackson is going to be committed to making it something that's really viable over a lot of minutes consistently game to game.
All right, before we'll get to
the thing for me there is that I think Brandon Jennings fits better as the off guard, just because he'll be able to space the floor. He's a little bit better of a catch and shoot guy, but like, I don't think those two can play together. Like, I think it's just a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, that'd be interesting if they went with Jennings as more of the off guard. I guess I'd just say that would naturally fall to Jackson because of his size and because he's done it in the past in Oklahoma City next to Russell Westbrook. But maybe that's how you get it done, is you still give Jackson that lead guard responsibility and let Jennings work off the ball.
I mean, here's the problem. Do you think, in the same way that you don't think Reggie would be happy about that, do you think Brandon Jennings would be happy with less of the ball?
Brandon Jennings doesn't have a choice, though. He's not the future of this franchise. He's on an expiring contract. This is the last chance to look good before he hits free agency. Like, the Pistons have clearly moved on from him as a core piece, so he needs to impress other teams and show that he can get along with what it takes. So he has less leverage here to complain about it.
I'm pretty sure this is going to be a short and quick answer. Is there any possibility Greg Monroe ends back with the Pistons?
I guess with the any possibility rule, sure, yes. But other than that, no, not really. He gave up millions of dollars for the right to leave this summer. I don't think after the season that they just had, he's going to go, yep, I've completely changed my mind about Detroit. This is where I want to be.
All right, Sam, who are we going to put in the mix? And Dan, you could get involved with this also, but we'll start with Sam. What names are we going to throw? I think at this point, we've had our top 7 picks. I think we've kind of, I mean, if you want to separate, put Towns and Okafor on their own tier and then have a second tier, or if we want to consider those first 7 all together, I kind of think we're hitting like a second tier in this draft now. Maybe you agree, or you can say whether you agree or disagree with that also. But who are we putting in the mix for this Pistons pick?
I think that there's still one guy left on that tier. I think it's an 8-man tier, not a 7-man tier. And I'm sure we'll talk about the guy because he's actually a pretty decent fit with Detroit. But, you know, the top seven guys on my board have gone in our first seven picks. The guy I have left is eighth. So I think you're looking at that guy, Kristaps Porzingis. I think you're looking at a guy like Stanley Johnson, maybe Kelly Oubre. You know, I have Bobby Portis higher than most people. I would like Portis there. I think he'd be good. Same with Trey Lyles. Trey Lyles would be interesting there. There are some guys that you could do there. Maybe Devin Booker as a floor spacer next to Reggie Jackson. But at eight, I think there is, like I said, there's a pretty clear guy here that you should take a look at. And it's the Pistons are just in a kind of a weird spot here because it feels like this roster is possibly talented enough to make a run at the playoffs next year with Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson, bringing a piece next to those guys in this draft. They've pretty decent options, plus they have a pretty elite coach, in my opinion, Stan Van Gundy. So it's really tough for me to reconcile, despite the fact that I have this guy at the end of my tier, taking more of a project here in Porzingis.
All right, Dan, we heard the names that Sam threw out there. Who out of those guys are under consideration for you?
Well, the guys who appeal most to me, and I don't think he said him. If he did, I missed out. I'll throw one more out, is Miles Turner from Texas. The Pistons can really use help anywhere but center and maybe guard, so it shakes out pretty well that, you know, some of the names he mentioned, like Stanley Johnson and Porzingis, those guys could play, you know, either forward or guard, and really fit well. So I think the Pistons are, if this is how the draft shakes out, or no matter how it shakes out, unless there are some big drastic surprises, are in a good position where the guys he mentioned or the guys who might be available, if this goes a little differently ahead of the pick, are probably the guys who fit.
Yeah, and the reason I mentioned Miles Turner is that I don't think that he particularly, offensively, he's an interesting fit next to Andre Drummond, but I think they're really going to struggle in the pick and roll defensively at that point. If they would select Turner, Turner would be a rim protector to place next to him, but neither of those guys are particularly good at moving on the perimeter and defending in space. So I think it would be a struggle playing those two together, and playing Turner next to Drummond in something of a Twin Towers mold. I think you'd be getting a lot of what Greg Monroe struggled with, is basically just with the ability to protect the rim a little bit more. And yeah, that might be interesting, but I think that Porzingis' athletic fluidity is a little bit more intriguing to me there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think Porzingis is just more talented, period.
Yeah.
His shooting ability could be special for his size.
Yeah, definitely, and I agree with that, too. The reason I throw out a guy like Bobby Portis there, too, is that I think he does move pretty well on the perimeter. He, you know, shoots the ball pretty well. It's a little bit of slow release, but it ends up going in. And he's not going to be a rim protector, but you have to hope that Drummond might be able to add that to his game eventually just due to his size and length there. So, you know, Portis is a little bit more interesting to me there than Turner. But, again, Porzingis is just so much more talented than those guys.
Yeah, I like Portis as a fit also for all the reasons you said, but the talent issue, I think if you're picking this high, even if we're throwing Porzingis out of the equation for a moment, you know, I would take Turner over Portis, even though he's the worst fit, because I think the talent upgrade is so substantial. Drafting is hard enough, and the Pistons aren't going to be that good for a few more years, even if everything goes right. So I'd rather get the most talented guys, you know, in and figure it out later.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think the thing is, for me, I don't really think there's a massive difference between Portis and Turner, but I'm probably in the minority on that, to be quite clear.
With Stanley Johnson, do we think he could be like a Rashard Lewis for Stan Van Gundy, or is he not long enough to pull off? He's really thick, but he only measured with like a 6'11 wingspan, which you were kind of hoping would have been a little longer. Do you think he could pull off playing that small ball four next to Drummond?
I do. I'm really surprised there hasn't been more discussion of him as a four. It seems like everybody's calling him a three. I've even seen places that say he can, you know, play some two. I think the four is a more natural fit for him. He's so strong. And yes, there are those wingspan concerns, so obviously he's not going to play the position just like Rashard Lewis did or some of the other longer. But but stretchier fours. So he's going to have to do it his own way if he can, but I really think he could be a real matchup nightmare as a small ball four just because of his strength. He could hold his own, I think.
I've written a lot about that, actually. And it, you know, I agree with you. I think that more people do need to think of Stanley Johnson as a potential small ball four. I mean, we're looking at what Harrison Barnes is doing in the NBA right now. A lot of what he does for Golden State is he plays a small ball four. He's turned into a pretty decent post defender and a defender in space. And I think that Stanley Johnson has a lot of those same capabilities, along with the ability to shoot off the dribble. His decent improving shot off the catch, it's not quite there yet, but his ability to shoot off the dribble is really good. His decent little in-between game. There's a lot to like about Stanley Johnson as a slashing, spacing, small ball four, especially in Stan Van Gundy's offense.
Dan, are you putting a guy like Devin Booker in the mix here, or did you like enough of what you saw from KCP last year that you're comfortable going forward with him as the two guard?
In the fringe of the mix, yes, but him ranking a little lower is not because I'm sold on KCP. I like Caldwell Pope. I think he's a good piece to have, and you know, he makes it so upgrading at shooting guard is not imminent or anywhere near that. But I'm just not that high on Booker. I actually have RJ Hunter rated a little bit ahead of Booker if I'm going to take a shooting guard here.
Okay, so you just don't
think why?
Athleticism. I think that Booker, there are too many concerns about how good of an athlete he is, and maybe he just wasn't in the right circumstance to show it at Kentucky. That's fine, but I think Hunter has shown a little bit more athleticism that makes me more comfortable he'll translate to the next level. You know, Booker can obviously shoot, and as a spot-up shooter, I really like him, and I like him as a prospect, but Hunter just seems like he could be a little more versatile, and he still could have that spot-up shooter floor.
That's interesting, because I don't really agree with that at all. you know, Devin Booker is a pretty, he's a very quick athlete. He's not an explosive guy going vertically, but he's a very, very quick athlete. He put up the best lane agility time for an off guard at the combine since 2001, and that shows up a lot in his game. He's very slippery when coming off screens. He's very slippery when moving off ball. I get it, because defensively he's not particularly good, but I think that his defensive problems have more to do with him being the youngest player in this draft and not really understanding defensive principles yet. But Hunter does, I mean, neither of them profile well defensively in the NBA, I think. But if you're making me take a chance, I'm probably taking the 3-year age gap between Booker and Hunter and saying that Booker will develop a little bit more wiggle off or on the ball and hopefully develop defensively. And just go from there, I think.
Right, as you said, my big athleticism concerns are not offensively. I think he's athletic enough to do what he does offensively, but they're more defensively, where I think Hunter has a higher ceiling there.
Mm-hmm. Dan, I didn't get the chance to read the story, but I was on the website, and I saw you had a story up there, and I'm pretty sure it was written by you, about potentially trading the 8th pick. Now, was that about moving up, moving down for a veteran? What was the context of it?
The idea more was about trading it for a veteran or trading it for additional picks, more so than just looking at what players might be available, who might not be. We didn't try and evaluate based on what other teams would do, but more so, what is the value of the number 8 pick in this draft, and something that we can contextualize a little better, which is current players.
What did you come up with?
So we went through about 10 scenarios, and going through them, it's really interesting to see as you take these one by one. Maybe we're overvaluing the pick, but in general, we said no to some trades for some good players, and I think this has a lot to do with the CBA limiting the length of contracts, and the fact that the salary cap is going to shoot up. So when you can get a player under contract for 4 years, under team control for at least 5, on that cheap salary, there's a lot of value in that, and that makes draft picks so much more, even than they were before, more valuable than veteran players.
And I think on that point, it's even more than the rookie contract. You're really getting control of them for 10 years, if they end up popping for 10 years under value, because that second contract isn't going to be that expensive either. You don't really have to kill yourself paying them until the third contract.
Well, so I guess that'd be 9 years, but I guess the counter to that is Greg Monroe. Like, the Pistons landed a good draft pick, he's had a good amount of NBA success, and he's probably going to be gone after five.
So here's an interesting one. You look at Boston. Boston has been said to want to move up into the lottery. Would you consider something like Kelly Olynyk at number 16?
So that was actually
the number 8 pick.
That was actually one of the proposals we went through. We did Olynyk.
Oh, really?
and 16 for 8, and we did
that's
James Young and 16 for 8. And
I would rather have Olynyk for the Pistons, but that's interesting.
I'd rather have James Young.
I'm with Dan.
I'm not real big on James Young.
Not real big on Olynyk.
the reason I would say Olynyk is just because he has the ability to space the floor next to Drummond, and I think that'd be intriguing for Van Gundy. James Young is an interesting prospect who doesn't do a lot well yet, but he's still very young. He's still only 19 years old. I think you would be waiting for the next 2 years on him to really, really make an impact. If it was James Young, I would probably just rather take Kelly Oubre at 8 and just kind of roll with that than have Young in 16. But, you know, Olynyk, I can see an argument for because Olynyk fits them really well. I think he's a reasonably skilled player offensively, and he does a lot of what Stan Van Gundy wants. I don't know that I would make the trade necessarily, but I like that a little bit more than Young.
I agree with your evaluation of Olynyk and how he'd fit, but I think our difference is that I'm not as concerned about that right now because, okay, you bring in a guy who fits well. He's not old, but he's not the youngest player. I mean, what is the end goal for the Pistons? Is it to get in the playoffs next year or the year after or maybe both? Like, Olynyk would help with that, but I'm aiming a little higher. I think when you have somebody like Andre Drummond and what his ceiling could be, I think you should aim higher, aim a few years out, look for the players like James Young or whoever you can draft this year, where we're going to be peaking. He's only 20, Andre Drummond, that is only 21. I think there's a lot of time for him to develop with a young core.
Dan, do you think the organization has your view on this, or do you think they're trying to win more now?
They're probably somewhere in between. I mean, Van Gundy has said all the right things about, you know, getting the right building blocks and not taking a short-term view, but he's also a coach first, and I think just by nature, he wants to win right now. He's on the sideline every day. You know, he's going through it. I know it's hard for him. This is the first season he did not make the playoffs in his career. So I think just by nature, when you have a coach in that dual role, there's always going to be a little bit more emphasis on the short-term than there should be, but I don't think it's necessarily way too much in Detroit right now.
Before we get to your pick, one more player I'd like to ask you about. Spencer Dinwiddie. I followed his numbers a little. Didn't he start playing all right? I haven't watched a ton of the Pistons.
He just didn't even come close to getting his name right.
Oh, whatever. The dude from Colorado. I know who he is. Leave me alone. I was like, why are you making fun of me? I could have sworn I saw just box score looking. He had some decent games last year, but I didn't get to watch him, but I know he's a pretty long guy who has some skills from seeing him in college, and I wanted to get Dan's thoughts on him. But you're making fun of how I said his name. That's fair.
You're witty. There's no L.
Oh, I can't. The Basketball Insiders page is really, really small. Dinwiddie? Is that how you pronounce it?
Dinwiddie.
Sorry. Okay, don't mind me.
Besides him inappropriately putting an I instead of an L in his name just to mix you up. He had an okay year. The big concern is he shot really poorly from the outside, and that's not something we expected coming in. If anything, that seemed to be his strength. But he did a lot of other things well, and he made great progress. I remember when he first got into the rotation, when the Pistons had some injury issues, and he'd run a pick and roll, and he could not advance the ball at all. You know, if there was a switch or a hedge or any amount of defensive pressure, like, he would just kind of curl back. Like, I mean, it was glaring, and it just shut down their whole offense. So he made a ton of progress. He can run a competent pick and roll now. He's a good rebounder for his position. He seems to see the floor pretty well. And I hope his shooting stroke will come around. I hope this is sort of an aberration. And if it does, the Pistons got good value in the second round. That doesn't make him a great player or mean he's going to stick. But when you hit on the second round picks, it gives you more options.
And they also have him that good contract, too. He's under contract for this year, non-guaranteed the year after. They don't have to worry about restricted free agency for 2 years from now. So they got some time to see what he develops into.
Absolutely. And they can see what their guard situation is in front of him, too. That'll be big.
Sam, anything you want to add before we have Dan do the pick?
On Dinwiddie specifically, I think he's a pretty interesting guy. He's especially an interesting guy for them because, like Dan said, he's good at running pick and roll. He's pretty good at getting into the lane, and he's actually a very, very good passer for a 6'6" guy. So I'm not sure he's ever more than a defensive guy that is a little bit inconsistent from the outside. Just a guy that has some defensive versatility that can handle the ball a little bit and is a little bit inconsistent from the outside. But, you know, like Dan said, that's an interesting guy to have at the minimum for two more years while you're trying to figure out what he is. I'm not sure he's a piece to have a lot of confidence in going forward, but it's at least a piece, and it's not a bad one at that.
All right, Dan, who do you want to take?
All right, I am taking Kristaps Porzingis.
Very cool. Do you have anything you would like to plug before getting out of
here? Wait.
Oh, well, go ahead, Sam.
I want to ask him, how do you think Porzingis fits with Andre Drummond?
I think very well. I have some major concerns about Porzingis, and all of them could be attributed to his weight, his slight frame. He doesn't rebound well enough. He gets pushed around a little bit too much inside. He can still block shots, which gives me hope that there's promise there, but it's a concerning that you have a player who hasn't really shown these skills that would be very, very helpful, bordering on necessary for a power forward to have. And I hope he has them once he puts on weight. But in the meantime, he can shoot the heck out of the ball. The Pistons get more spacing around Drummond. If the Pistons draft him, depending on what happens in free agency, and it's hard to see a really great fit that they could get, Porzingis could step in and be the starting power forward from day one.
Oh, God, that's terrifying.
Well, what's more terrifying, that or overpaying for a limited veteran who you're stuck with under contract for 3 or 4 more years?
Oh, man.
I'll take the short-term terror with high potential over the terror of just being stuck.
I think you should just sign Bargnani and play him next to Drummond.
I might just start Anthony Tolliver.
I'm perfectly fine with Tolliver sort of as a plan C or D fallback starter. But Stan Van Gundy has come out and said, I don't want Tolliver starting at power forward next year. That's not how I see him. And that seems kind of blunt to put it right now when maybe that's what you need. Maybe, that might be what you're stuck with. And I'd be fine with that as, a year stopgap. But Van Gundy was pretty adamant that that's not what he wants.
Yeah, My thing is that Tolliver's a lot more ready to play in the NBA now than Porzingis is, I think. I think the grind is going to probably have some issues, or cause Porzingis some issues starting out, just while he's working on his body. And, he has broad shoulders. He has a very thin waist and very skinny legs, which is scary. But he has broad shoulders. He has the frame that looks like it can handle some more weight. It's just all about the work that he's going to put in. It's all about the time he's going to put in to try and work on his defense and his rebounding and just the general physicality of having to play in the NBA inside every night, or at least bang a little bit inside every night. And that's scary, and that makes me think he's probably not ready to play in the NBA next year. So if you're looking for a starting guy, I think you're probably looking at Porzingis plus signing a free agent on a 2-year deal.
Yeah, the goal's, even if they get Porzingis, who I really like and might be my favorite of the prospects who could reasonably fall to them, I'd still advocate trying to get somebody in free agency. But when you look around the power forwards available, easier said than done.
Right, yeah.
All right, so now, Dan, do you have anything you would like to plug before you get out of here?
Check out pistonpowered.com.
There we go. Everyone head over there for your Pistons news. Dan, thank you very much, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, and that wraps up another edition of the Amateur Hour Podcast Mock Draft.